Lisa.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, that breeze feels good.
Okay. How's everybody?
Great.
I wasn't expecting the new crowd, which is good. For those who don't know, my name is Frank Tanner. I'm one of the teachers here. Ed is out this evening. He's out of town. And this is Frank. Hello. Another Frank.
This is my Frank right here.
And Karen, Lawrence, Sharon, there you guys know each other. Annette, that's Ed's wife. Louise, Roy, we got Roy. And Melissa Lehman?
Yes, sir.
All right. Whitney, you've been gone a while. Kelly, all right.
Morris,
all right.
Love Morris.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. The only one.
Lee Morris.
L-E-E Morris.
It's L-E.
L-E Morris. Okay.
Right. Hey,
Lee Morris.
Love, like, male. L-E male.
Okay. All right. How you doing? Michael?
How you doing, Michael?
Angela. All right.
Who is you?
Mia?
Mia.
Michael. Michael and Michael. All right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, just a little background. You guys know us, but what we do here, we like to approach the Bible from a standpoint of right division. And what that means is we recognize that what God did in time past is not what God is doing today. And that is the key to understanding Scripture. If you ever pick up the Scripture and you start reading, if you try to plug yourself in anywhere back here, you might run into some problems. But what we do recognize is right here. This is where we are. It's called the Age of Grace. And Paul is our apostle. An apostle is just a man sent from God with a message. It's kind of like you go to the doctor and they just say, this is your doctor, Dr. whomever. So you go to him and you look for whatever medication you need or whatever prescriptions you need, right? You go to the wrong doctor, what happens? You might get the wrong medicine.
Yeah.
And you go, I remember seeing the show where the guy went to the bed, he was checking the bed charts and he got the charts mixed up. So the doctor comes in, and that was his patient, and this one's his patient, and he picks it up, and he's, okay, this is what you need, and they end up cutting it. This is a true story. He cut the wrong, did you hear about that? He cut the guy's leg off. It was the wrong leg. What can you do? He's done. Now, we're not talking about legs here, but we're talking about something even more important than a leg. It's your spiritual life, your spiritual destiny. Or you pick up the Scripture and you start reading things that you say, well, this is for me. Or you do like this. What's the Lord telling me today? Not quite. So what we do is, if you can rightly divide, if the Scriptures tell us to rightly divide, that means you can do what? What's the opposite of right division? Or, if it's right, it could be wrong. If you divide it, you can what? You can multiply it or group it together or add it together. If you look at it as just one big lump, then you might have a problem, because God, look at 2 Timothy 2:15. God himself tells us to what? And 2 Timothy 2:15. Now this is, we do this, but you can ask questions. I'm not here to lecture. if you have a question, you just stop us and we'll address it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Says, study to show thyself approved unto
God,
a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many heard of that prior to coming here? How many heard of right division? Rightly dividing. All right. How many know how to do it?
Working at it.
You're working at it.
Working
okay.
It.
That's like I heard of cooking.
Yeah.
You know, but that don't mean I can get in the kitchen and be proficient, right? Mm-hmm. So he says this. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study is what we do. Mm-hmm. It's not just putting forth effort. It's putting forth effort in the book. See, a lot of people are active church members on the usher board, kitchen duty, parking lot duty, pastor's aide, secretary. But they're showing themselves to be approved to who?
Man.
To a man. Paul said, we were talking about last week, Paul said this. He said, if I was a servant of men, if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So he says, you study to show yourself approved unto God. Do you know the moment you get saved that you become a workman? Do you know that? The moment you believe Christ died for you, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, you automatically become a workman.
And his workmanship.
And his workmanship. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Hold your hand in 2 Timothy. We have to come back there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Back to the left. Chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. He says, I, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul, who's your apostle, sent to you. When I say you, who are you? I know that's not correct, but Gentiles. All right. And Gentiles just mean nations. Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. All right. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know what a vocation is? Not a vacation. Although some saints take vacation after they get saved. A vocation. It's your job. That's your real job. When you get saved, that's your real job. It's a saint. You're a workman. You're a co-laborer with God. So whatever your job is, see, he's a part-time photographer, but he's a full-time saint. Right? All right. So whatever your job may be, I'm a part-time salesman, but I'm a full-time saint. It shouldn't be the other way around. You know, the undercover saint, or they... Where they see you, that's because you're not walking worthy. Where they see you and they say, I know you're saved. Walk worthy. He said, I beseech you. You know, that means I beg you to walk worthy. Which means that, what? If he's got to beg you to walk worthy, which means there's a possibility that what?
You might not. You have liberty.
You have liberty, right. But that's not saying that we should walk unworthy, but it's a like the more than he said, it's a beseech He's. Can you imagine that after what God has done for us, He begs us to walk worthy? Why didn't He just make you do it? You know why He didn't make you do it? That word right there.
Grace.
Grace is getting what you don't deserve. As one guy said, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And it's everything that God is able to do for us freely. Freely. That means no restrictions on it. So He says, after you get saved, He says, I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies as a
living sacrifice,
holy, acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be
transformed
by
the renewing of your mind.
Oh, man. See, everybody in here walking worthy. Right? If it all depends on information, if it all depends on just knowing it, then we'd be okay. But He says that He transformed that you might what? Prove
what is
that good and acceptable
and perfect
will of God. So it's
just work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Exercise it.
It's in there. When you get saved, he comes in. You know that? He comes in there forever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's grace.
Amen.
I like to watch, there's a show on TV called Hoarding. Anybody watch that? Hoarders?
Yeah,
no idea. And it's amazing, you know, because when you go in there, you say, how could you live in there? How could you live in that junk? You know where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
Where the Holy Spirit is in us. And if, just hypothetical, if the Holy Spirit had a friend and He invited him over and he came in, he said, well, come on in to Frank's house. And he comes to the door and he says, wow, how could you live in this junk with all this worldly junk in here? And all he can say is what? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11. It says, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of
your
salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were
sealed
with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. He's saying, after you trusted Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, we're going over this. I'm just giving you some ideas, just little things about grace. Because we talk about grace, Annette just said, she says, we're a little in depth here, but we're going to kind of skate over the top today just for to get us acquainted with grace. So he says, after you believe, you were what?
Sealed.
How many believers we have here? You can raise your hand. How many sealed here? All right. Frank?
I'm coming up a little.
How many felt it when you got sealed?
No.
All right. How many believe it, though?
Yes.
Okay. So, when He seals it, it happened. It's done. It's God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, you're sealed until the
4:30.
Now, what?
4:30?
No, Ephesians 4:30. Oh. I'm sorry. I did say 4:30, not 4:30. Why 4:30, right?
Now everybody gets off,
goes home. Right. Tomorrow morning. Well, now, hey, that's maybe. Well, we still till Sunday at what? What time church in on Sunday? 11:30 or whatever time? Well, so most people think they check Christ at the door, you know, when they go in. They don't realize when they leave out of there, guess who's with you?
Christ.
When you ride home, guess who's with you?
He's still there.
When you get to the house?
He's still there.
When you go to the club?
Still there.
We don't go that far, though, do we? But, or whatever we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something to remember that he's here. And grace doesn't demand for you to do right. It begs you to do right.
Okay.
Because there was so much given. What was given? His son. You know what he said in Corinthians? He says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. If just say I broke in your house, took everything you own, and you found out I hid it, and you said, I know you got my stuff, I want it back. And I said, well, you're going to pay for that. And it says, well, what do you want? I say, Angela, Michael, I said, I want your baby boy. I want him. What would you do?
Slap him real hard.
That stuff? You say, keep the stuff. Right? But see, God didn't do that. Well, we all in bondage to sin, to Satan. And the Lord says, What do you want for him? And he says, it don't cost you your son. It cost him his life. He could have said, well, I could just do it over. I'll start all over again, like he told Moses. He says, I start over with you. But he says, okay, deal. We'll do it. And he bought you and me. Who were, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Just a little bit down. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his what?
Great love.
What kind of love?
Great love.
Where his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Does he have grounds to ask us for something?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Does he have grounds to demand from us?
Sure.
Yes.
Why?
He's God.
He's God. Not just because he's God, but because he bought us. If I own whatever I own, I have a right to do whatever I want with it. And he says, I'm not going to make you do this. Because what I did out of love. And what you do, I want you to do out of love. Right? But he says, now, But just that, there's a lot more that he's done. He says, "But just me dying for you." That's tremendous right there, right?
Yes.
But he says, not only that, I died for you, and I sealed you, and I raised you up, and made you sit together in heavenly places, right? Now, those are just three things. There's a lot more than that. He says, no, well, just take those. He says, now, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, to do what?
Present your body.
Give me that piece of junk. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it dying, decaying?
Yeah.
It's going down. Mm-hmm. He said, let me work with you. Mm-hmm. Let me work through you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
The body. Mm-hmm. He said, the body is his. And the spirit is his. You know, when he formed Adam, he said he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And he became what?
A living soul.
Now, here, you got the clay now. He quickened our dead spirit, made us alive. And he says, now I want you to live for me. I beseech you to do it. Now, with grace, there's a possibility that we might not do that. Right?
Right.
But he says, this is what I would like. And I'll have to have you done that. Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you ever even thought about it?
Every day.
So he said, and you know, I would say this too. It's kind of like a moment by moment thing too. Kind of incident by incident. Because you could surrender on this side, but then in the next episode you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Right. And what happens when you disobey in grace? What happened when you disobey right here?
Oh, you're in deep trouble.
Under the law.
Condemnation of the law.
You know what the scripture said, that under the law of Moses, a man sinned, he died without mercy by the hands of two or three witnesses.
Or sometimes many.
We've just been going through 2 Samuel where David, who's right here, David is under what?
The law.
How do you know he's under the law?
Because it was before Christ died.
Thank you. All right. It was before Christ died, right? This is all with grace and right division. You know, you can't take these things for granted. The first thing you do, you pick up that book, you got to remember, and I like this where Ed has this, you got to remember this is the key right here.
Amen.
You go to the right, you're all right. And the left? So whatever happened before this, the scripture said this. Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision to confirm the promises back here. Now, David was under the law, but David, when he committed his sin with Bathsheba, what happened to him? Anybody remember that story?
Yeah.
What happened, Angela? Michael, what happened, Michael? You remember what happened? Anybody?
He prayed.
Maybe not.
He asked for forgiveness.
He wasn't killed.
No.
He received the consequences.
Whitney, what happened? Layman? Okay.
He has children. Well, like, but his son did die, his firstborn,
Right.
Died.
What should have happened to David, though?
He should have died.
He also killed her husband.
That's right.
Any regular man would have been stoned.
That's right. We looked at that last week. We looked at this.
You are the man.
He committed adultery, which was a sin for death.
Yeah.
Her and David should have been killed. He had the man killed. That's murder. That's two. Right? He coveted. That's a, he broke the...
That's three strikes.
And he bore false witness to Uriah because he had the man come under false pretenses.
The sword never left his house.
He was, what's that?
The sword never left his house.
Yeah, but see, that's, see, but that's not what the, that's not what the law called for.
It says we're not imputed to.
There you go. There you go, Roy. Look at Romans, Romans chapter 4.
Okay.
Because like Laman said, and he deserved to die.
He was the exception,
right? He was the exception. That's where we're going. Right.
Grace. Where is grace?
Romans 4. Verse. Well, we'll start at verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what?
Debt.
He says, if you work for it,
you should get paid.
You should get paid. But if it's works, if you work for it, it's not a gift. Right? If you try to work for salvation, then God what? He couldn't say by grace are you saved through faith, right? If you try to work for it, he would have to say, you did a good job, you get it. And then you could go to God and say, look what
I did.
But he said it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You won't get to him and say, add it up. See what? See how I did.
Well, come short every time.
Every time.
Every time.
So he says in verse 6, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
Now, you wouldn't say, if I say, you know, I know Lawrence, he's a godly man. How would you feel about that? If I say, you're a godly man, if we were all out in the crowd and I said, I want to introduce a godly man to you, Lawrence White.
Not me, but Jesus Christ.
He got to, he said, not me through Jesus Christ. That's true. But if you put a man on the spot like that, he would say, well, I ain't that.
Thank you.
You know, thank you.
But if I said, I want to introduce to you Lemours, an ungodly man. Here's an ungodly, one of the most ungodly men I know. Here's Lemours. What would you say?
Boy, don't let
them know. I'm not that bad. He would say, well, I'm not that bad. He don't want to be godly, but he don't want to be ungodly either.
Yeah.
But God says that we're all what?
Sinners.
And we're all ungodly. He said, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Either godly or you're not.
Amen.
Right? You either doing what he wants done all the time, or you what?
Or
you're ungodly. It's pretty simple. He doesn't leave a lot of room for a wiggle. And the quicker you say, yeah, you know what? I am ungodly, the quicker you can become. The quicker he'll justify you, right? The quicker you become godly. Verse 6. He says, even as David, here we are, here's David. We remember what he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There you go, Roy. Roy said he didn't impute. You know what impute means? Charge it. Add it up.
Bank America card.
You know what we think? We think where God is, and people, I think people think this now, where God is up there, and every time you sin, you say, okay, that's one. And you lie, well, that's two. Or he's adding it up. That's imputation. That means he's counting it to your account. He's putting it on your account. Yes. Oh, I thought you had a question. But the thing, he says this, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not
impute sin.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Now, this is grace.
Amen.
But this is a trap. Amen.
This is what grace is. He says this. He says, to know.
Come on.
To know that God was in Christ.
Reconciling
the world, where? To himself. Not
imputing
their
trespasses.
And hath committed unto us the word of
reconciliation.
He says, now we beseech you in his stead to be what?
Be reconciled to God.
To be reconciled. So you go out, how many people think God mad at them right now? Well, I'm having so many problems. God, you know, I remember the guy, this guy, he said, well, you don't pay your tithes, you know, God's going to get you. He's going to put a hole in your pocket. He's going to put a hole in your tire. No, they're really.
Oh, that's right. That's what they teach.
And.
Some way.
Yeah. Right. And I say, well, like the class on Thursday, where the guy, he says, God's punishing America. Every time something happens, God's punishing America. And I said, let me ask you a question. You believe Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
You believe Scripture?
Yeah.
Okay, we went to 2 Corinthians. I said, read that verse. And it said, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing. Is America in the world?
Yes.
What does impute mean?
Charge.
To know that God was not charging America with sins. Who's right?
God is.
Who's wrong?
Amen.
Let God be
true.
Amen.
See how simple the Bible is? See, if you want to... Go ahead, Karen.
No. Well, I heard something, or something clicked that I had not seen before, but you were talking about the not imputing, and you were talking about the, you know, keeping accounts. And when Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, you know, what love is,
mm-hmm.
and of course we know God is love, it says he does not take into account. He doesn't, I mean, right there it lays it out, and I just saw it before, as meaning he's not imputing.
But how many people, even if you read it, and we went to the verse, and he still, every so often, he'll come up and he'll say, God, America's under God's wrath.
Yeah, yeah.
How? How could God tell you on one hand that all he's doing is imputing this,
mm-hmm.
but yet you turn around and tell me that he's imputing wrath?
And that's what a lot of preachers teach. They say that God is mad at the wicked every day.
He couldn't be.
That's right.
Now, there's a day coming. That's what Paul said is. He says, I beseech you that you receive not his grace in vain. He says, today is the day of salvation. So, this is grace. This is the windows open. If you're sitting here, you know what? Maybe you say, well, you know what? I'm not really sure if I'm saved or not. I mean, I talked about it. I believe that he died, but I don't have that conviction. You know why you don't? Because you're looking at you. Because you're still trying to measure up. Some kind of way you're feeling like, I got to be good. And he said, no, what do you think I died for? Because I know you're no good.
I was going to say, the scripture really says, but God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Mm-hmm. And just to think about it, while we were yet sinners, we was wanting to sin. We weren't even thinking about him.
Right.
He already extended that love, regardless of, he saw down the line, listen, you're going to sin, I see you.
I see you.
And covered it for me way before, ahead of time, before I even got to that place. And so, but like Sharon said, so many times we've been taught, like, that sickness is upon you because you did something out of the will of God.
Right. That you, if you just would quit sinning, you won't be a sinner.
Right.
You know, so, but it hasn't been, even to the young generation, they don't understand. God loved you while you were yet a sinner without him, one thinking about him.
Right.
And if an alcoholic or a drug addict can really see this, they would really change their life. Well, God, here I am today. I know you're going to have to deliver me from this. You know, and sometimes, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're still drinking. That's why you're still smoking. That's why you're doing this. But it ain't even about that.
Right.
But they hold people in condemnation. I know that my hand is here. You know, because
your verse. Where your verse at?
Romans
chapter 5.
Yeah, Romans 5.
We're going to read that because what she just said, you're right, Melissa. And people do. That's bondage. They held in bondage of their own guilty conscience.
Yep.
Like Ed's not here, but I love it when he always say that. When man told him about he can be saved by grace, just and he says, well, he couldn't believe it. That it was that, and he would say, right? He said, well, would it be okay with God if I just wanted to believe it real bad? It's like. He don't want you to believe it real bad. He wants you to get it real bad. It's free.
It's free.
So chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. He says, now this is right after chapter 4, where David says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord wouldn't charge your sin. Did you know God's not charging you with sin right now? Did you know God's not counting sin against you right now?
Amen.
Did you know God's not writing a list on you right now?
Right.
Did you know God's not counting up all your bad things right now? Did you know God's not holding the list over your head right now? Amen. How many ways can I say it? I'm fine. One more. Did you know God's not angry with you right now?
Have a list.
Did you know God threw the list out today?
Amen.
Okay. Chapter 5. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have
peace
with
God.
Okay. If you trust him, he died for you, right? When he died, he was dying for you. Now, when I used to teach little kids, they would always say, Christ died for us. I'd say, no, he didn't. And they said, huh? I said, no, he didn't. And they said, well, you just... I said, no, he died for you. Because as long as you keep it general, that means you not seeing yourself. Christ died for me. Right? He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By Christ, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know what? We'll see him. We're approved in God's sight because of what his son accomplished. That's what they call vicarious. You know, you got it through somebody else. God's pleased with you because he's pleased with his son. Is he?
Yes.
Not because he's you so hot. He said, I'm pleased with him. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And because you're in the son, guess what? He's well pleased with you.
It's like you put him on.
Put him on.
That's not just like you do put him on. Right.
Put on the Lord Christ.
Now, Roy said, I'm going to borrow Roy's saying. Now, that kind of stuff right there, Roy, will do what? It'll get your mind right. That's what it is. It'll, you know what? I don't even think about my salvation.
Amen.
It's just that short of me.
Yeah.
Because I believe the book.
Amen. That's so true.
Now, when I didn't know, I might, but when I started to know these things, then, you know what? You might say, well, I know I'm saved.
You walked in surety.
Well, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. If we believe the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Right?
Right.
He said this. He says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience
experience.
And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because
the love of God
is shed abroad in our hearts
by the Holy Ghost.
Now, he's saying, you can't say that, well, this bad thing is from God. He said, no, that's no temptation taking you such as common to man. But he said, tribulation worketh what?
Patience.
Patience. And patience,
experience.
How many ever had any tribulation? Tribulation just means hard time.
Right.
Now, what's hard for you might be easy for me. And what's easy for me might be hard for you. But he says, how many had that tribulation and thought it was from God? Thank you. Somebody.
What I sowed.
And what he says, he said, no. Now, sometimes, yeah, if you sow to the flesh, guess what?
Reap to the flesh.
All right, but it ain't God says, I'm going to get you.
Right.
He can't say, I'm going to get you, because he's doing what? He says, I want you.
Amen.
If he said, I'm going to get you, it's kind of like, I want you to come back. Not, I'm going to get you. He's saying, come back.
Amen.
Now, he said, tribulation works patience. Patience.
Experience.
I remember talking to somebody on the phone. I said, you know what? One day we're going to look back on this and we're going to laugh about it together. Now, when you're going through it, you're like, I don't see that. But one day, you know what? You look back and you say, remember you had no money? And you was like, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
That was a bad time, but you know what? But the Lord got me through it. So he said, tribulation works patience, patience experience
hope,
expectation, and hope. He says, I have an expectation that I'm going to get through this, and I'm not ashamed. Because why? Why not? Because what?
The love of God.
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. For, now this is, he says, for, which is explaining. He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Here you go. He says, here's how I can go through it and still trust in God. He says, because all this stuff works together. Because I realize by the Holy Ghost, I realize the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. You can be down in the dumps at rock bottom and still know that God loves you.
That's so true. That's true.
Not that he's getting you, but that even when you're down in the dumps, low as you can get, he says, I'm right there. He said, I'm not going to leave you. What? Not only is he not going to leave you, he says, I'm not the source of this. And he said, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. He says, well, how do I know he's not mad? How do I know I'm not being punished? He says in the next verse, he says, for When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the
ungodly.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were
yet sinners,
Christ died for us.
Amen.
He says, now, he says he loved us, like Melissa said, when you were an enemy. In your mind, by your works, he said, ungodly, you were an enemy, and he loved you. And he didn't talk about it. He said he commended it. You know what that word means? Commendeth. He demonstrated it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But he laid down his life for his enemies. Y'all miss that? He says, greater love have no man than this. Greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. What he said, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For a good man, some would even dare to die. You see it on the news all the time. Or you just saw it on the news where this little boy, he tried to save his sister, and he got out, she got out, he died. Or you find a man, he go into a burning building, he risked his life to save people he doesn't even know. He said, but this man, he died for some known enemies. Us. And he said, you don't get any greater than that. But then God comes along, he says, I'll show you one greater than that. He said, this man, he died for sinners and ungodly. What I like is this, he says, greater love have no man. It takes a God for that kind of work. That's why he said to know that God was in
Christ.
That body? Who was in that body? God was in that body. So if he tells you that I died for you, I've saved you, who am I to say, I don't think so. Not you. You think I know more about you than God knows about you? Like you said, he what'd you say? He saw me. Not where you were, but where you're going to be.
Amen.
Okay, let's move on. He says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
So he said, if he died for me when I was an enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he reconciled me while I was an enemy, how much more does he love me now that I'm trusting him?
Yes, Lord.
That's like, you know what, where if you're a foster parent and you go and you adopt a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get them out of the junk and you bring them to your house and you say, you're part of the family now. And you talked about it for, because it's a process you go through, you know. And he says, well, you here in my house, I'm going to adopt you. You're going to be my boy. I'm going to adopt you. And I'm going to be your father. You're going to be my son. Everything's going to be okay. And every day he's like, you love me? Do you love me? And you can say, you're here in my house. But he went further. He said, now the paperwork's done. Much more now. He says, now if this, the deal is sealed. He says, now, there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind. Much more now. If he died to reconcile the world, and then you say, well, I'm trusting them now. That's why he gets to Romans 8. He says, who shall separate us tribulation,
come on,
distress, nakedness, peril, sword. He lists all these things. He says, height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in
Christ Jesus.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not
even sin.
Now.
Okay.
But.
Yes.
This is. It's all good. It's good, ain't it? It's good. I know it's good. It's a good God.
Yeah.
But this is grace.
Amen.
It's free.
Yes.
And all he does is. He says, I'm begging you now. Mm-hmm. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you tasted it?
Mm-hmm.
Go get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Go get that guy and tell him how good the Lord is.
Amen.
And then you know what? We sit down together and we enjoy him together.
Yeah.
To borrow Karen, it's God's will that all men be saved.
Amen.
And come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will that all men be saved. That's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And come to the knowledge of the truth. That's right division. That's what we do here.
Amen.
We preach grace and we teach right division.
Amen.
Today we got a little bit of grace. And next, right. Now you don't get this from Peter. That's part of the right division. Your apostle tells you about all these goodies in Christ. You go back to Moses and you get back here and he says, grace, grace, what's that?
Right.
Although he may experience something back there, but not on this scale. Like they say, we've never seen it on this wise. It's a little bit different. But what... like Paul said, he says, we are not under the law. We're not under performance, but under grace. So as we leave, I'll just say, hopefully, that was just an idea of what grace is, a little bit. For those who are familiar with it, just a rehearsal. I don't ever get tired of hearing it.
True, man, it's true.
Because every time you read it, it's there.
Yeah.
The right division will come Sunday. I'm sure Ed'll be back. He'll do some good lessons on right division. Questions? You come back. You got questions? We take questions. You can catch these people here. Maybe we need to catch you, and get some questions answered. But. Are you saved tonight?
Yes.
Are you trusting just Jesus Christ?
And him only.
Resting in him?
Yes.
Fully persuaded?
Yes.
He is a keep that. Not committed unto him until that day.
All right. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
It's done?
Yes.
When he said it's finished?
It's finished.
Nothing you can add to it? That's good. That's all we want then. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for just the wonderful grace that you have shown to us and continue to show to us. We thank you for the scriptures that as we rightly divide them, we unleash the riches of your grace and we get the full assurance of understanding as we learn what you've accomplished on our behalf. We thank you for all these people who've come out tonight. Lord, we said a lot and we've covered a lot, but we know that you can take a verse and impress it on our hearts, and we pray that you do just that. Whatever things were said and done, we pray that it be to the glory of your name and to the strengthening and edifying of your saints. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.